Gabe Neitzel has never been more correct in his entire life. When he says that our loyal listeners will come through.
Didn't even have to ask.
On the garbage.
Don't even ask. Just bring it.
You don't even have to put the number out there. They just start popping and popping and popping and popping and popping. So many suggestions for other terms that Alan Lazard could have used yesterday when he told us that he just got hit in the gonads. And we also have Eric Name from The Athletic here to also contribute to this conversation.
You're a wordsmith. You use words for a living.
But he doesn't like puns. We know that.
That's true. I am delighted to be here.
Well, at least he was.
You know, sure. Always the highest high that I get. So on the Bucks beat, due to our Australian friend, Kane Pittman, he used to cover the team, Wallabies is what we call.
Whoa.
Straight shot to the Wallabies.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
I kind of like it, though.
Yeah.
It's a fun one. List. It's a fun one.
It's definitely fun. Wallabies is just fun to
what
say.
What is a wallaby besides your balls?
It's like an animal. It's like a rodent, maybe a varmint. I don't know what you'd call it.
Tracks, yep. See that? A lot of bad decisions being made with the wallabies. So gonads gives us the slang term nads, which then even is more slangier, nards, which somebody mentioned on the talk and text line as well.
I haven't heard nards since I was in fourth grade.
I love nards. That does make me think of elementary school. Bits and marbles, cojones. You hear cojones a lot. Mm-hmm. Is that Spanish for something?
No, but like you hear cojones, I guess you could throw onions out there too.
Yes.
Yes.
Like rarely do you get hit in the cojones. Usually you have cojones if you do something.
Very important distinction. You know? Yes.
That's true.
Like you've got bit, you know, if you do the, if you're doing the Sam Cassell dance.
But it's like marbles when they were talking about no marbles.
Major League two. Who sings the balls song?
Okay. What?
Is that a Sesame Street original?
He's got big balls, she's got big balls, so but he's got the biggest.
Eric, if you want to leave, I'll understand. It's fine.
That is AC/DC?
Yeah, it's AC/DC.
There you go. There's your bump music.
It was a Sesame Street or Schoolhouse Rock type of tunes.
Big Bird singing about big balls.
We've got Eric Name here, so we would be remiss if we didn't ask him about the Bucks head coaching search. Sounds like there were a lot of people in town, Eric. What can you tell us about where we are at in that process?
Yeah, I mean, John Horst is a very thorough person. So you go through a whole list of interviewees and, you know, I think it's interesting with all of this stuff, you know, with the advent of Zoom becoming far more popular. I mean, I can pop out an interview whenever I want. Like we don't need to be in the same place. So I do think as you look through that long list, I think it's about a dozen, 15 people long. I think you're going to have varying levels of seriousness and thoroughness throughout all of that and how long those conversations are going to be. And then eventually you get down to where we are right now, where there's three finalists in Nick Nurse and Adrian Griffin and Kenny Atkinson. So you have those three that have kind of come through this whole process and are now in a situation where this week they're going to get to have the longer, deeper conversation with John Horst, with ownership, you know, with all the people that matter kind of around the Bucks.
I know there's a tampering element to this, but were they hopeful to get Ty Lue?
Yeah, I mean, something I had reported very early in the process is that they were considering other coaches that currently had jobs. And when you're looking at, you know, some of the best, obviously Ty Lue's a big part of that. And I think kind of to his credit, and we see this a lot of times, you know, obviously Chewy in college football, right? Nick Saban says, oh yeah, no, I'll take that job. I just want a raise. Like, just give me a raise. Sure. And I think
they're using it for leverage.
100%. So you're seeing, I think, a lot from Ty Lue here where he knew that there's going to be a lot of jobs opening and he could say, hey, you know, I'm not totally happy with the Clippers, but I could be happy if you tear up my contract and give me five more years. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you get to that spot where I think that will be where Ty Lue ends up. He's going to be with the Clippers, but he will have a brand new 5-year contract that pays him at the very top level of all the coaches. So this is something that obviously when you get rid of someone like Mike Budenholzer, who obviously has his warts, but overall, that's someone that had a top 10 defense every year, a top 10 offense every year. The Bucks had the best record over the last five seasons when he was the coach. Like, you look at all those things, the standard has to be really high, which is why I think at the start of this process, it was like, all right, no one is off limits. We need to find the absolute best coach and figure out how to get that guy to Milwaukee.
Adrian Griffin is the one that's a finalist that I know the least about because he hasn't been a head coach.
Sure.
But I've talked myself into, I would be the most excited for him as a fan, because if he gets the job, to me, he did something that impressed John Horst, that impressed management, and impressed Giannis enough that they decided that this was our guy. What do you think of that take?
So I'm a big believer that anytime you have a head coach opening in the NBA, what you should do is hire a first-time head coach. You know what a retread looks like. You know what, if I coach for 5 years in Brooklyn, whatever it is, I've seen
Nick
your resume.
Nurse, Doc Rivers.
100%. You go down the line, I know what your systems look like. I know how you're going to do things. I know what you're good at. I know what you're bad at. I know all those things. And I know that there's a limit up there. Unless we're talking about Eric Spoelstra, for some reason, coming to Milwaukee, I know there's a limit to what you can do. This other person, I mean, I don't necessarily always want to reference Family Guy while talking about a coaching search. Mystery box. It could be anything. There could be anything in that first-time head coach. And I tend to believe that you're going to get greater innovation there. You're going to get new ideas. You're going to get stuff that the league hasn't seen before, when with all those other guys, you already have that. People have already seen that. So I'm a big believer in that. In this situation, I don't think the Bucks probably can do that. I think they do have to go safer. I do think they need to find someone that is going to bring in the big resume and let everyone know, like, I know what I'm doing. I have a ring. I've been here many times. Whatever it is, like, you, I think for the franchise, and in a situation where you have a guy in Giannis Antetokounmpo that is the very best in the league, and someone that, at a moment's notice, again, I'm sorry, people in Milwaukee, I'll whisper, he could leave. At any point, that's possible. I'm not saying he wants to. I'm not saying he's going to. I'm just saying there has to be a standard, and you have to show him we are committed to winning. And that, a lot of the time, leads to someone that has that experience.
All right, so let's say it ends up being Nick Nurse. If you hire Nick Nurse, why fire Mike Budenholzer?
Thank you.
It's the same picture.
Right. And again, everybody talks about Kawhi. You point to Kawhi and him kind of riding his, you know, elitism to the title.
For sure. And I think sometimes what happens in the NBA is you just need a new voice. I think what you saw from Bud, you know that he's good at a whole bunch of things, but you can't forget that there was a timeout with half a second left in the game. You just can't do it. That series to me.
So that's a non-negotiable.
I just think there was no way in my mind that he could walk into that room next year. He could walk into that locker room and have the full confidence and faith of that entire roster, because we all saw the exact same thing. And yes, Giannis was out for half that series. And yes, you know, when he did play, whatever, all of that did happen. But after 5 years, there was multiple playoff runs where the Bucks came up short. Bud didn't have the answers. And then in those final couple games, you have two double-digit leads in back-to-back games, in Game 4 and Game 5, where they just looked like they were in over their head. And yeah, are you changing out the voice for maybe the sake of changing out the voice? Maybe. Maybe that's it. But I do also think that Nick Nurse has different strengths than what Bud has. Kenny Atkinson has different strengths than what Bud has. So Bud is very good. Undeniably, he's going to be a coach again in the NBA whenever he wants to be. And that team's probably going to be very good because that's just what Bud does. But I do think they needed a new voice.
Okay, I'm going to piggyback off of that for a moment, because we're going to talk about hindsight here with our friend Eric Name from The Athletic, Bucks beat reporter. Now the Heat are one win away from the NBA Finals. Do you judge that series differently now that you know how good the Heat are? Right? Because at the beginning, when it all happened, it was like, this is the eighth seed that had to play its way in, that was really terrible during the regular season, and you were going, this upstart team can't make a deep run, and now they may be representing the conference in the finals. Do you change your perspective of that series with the Bucks?
I don't personally. Like, I still saw the same things. Whether or not that was the eighth seed, they still dropped a 14-point lead in Game 4. Whether or not that's the eighth seed or the Eastern Conference Finals champ, they dropped a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter of Game 5. No matter what, those things stay the same. And yeah, maybe it is, you know, a situation where we shouldn't have been, you know, as willing to say, well, this garbage eighth seed, and like, it was bad. Like, they almost lost to the Bulls. Like, that was a thing that almost occurred. They're 3 minutes away from their season being over, and instead, they're about to be in the NBA Finals. So, like, there is a little bit of a perception, but from a Bucks perspective, the things that the Bucks did wrong don't change. Those things are the exact same as they were when it was an 8 seed as opposed to whoever is going to represent the East in the NBA Finals.
Bucks roster is still better. Still better than
well,
the
Chewy
East.
Goes back to coaching, though. Chewy keeps going back to Spoelstra is just better than Mike Budenholzer.
I still don't know if the Heat are good. I think they're hot.
You know, Spoelstra's
good. They're on a really good run right now. I know Spo's good. I know Jimmy's good. That's about all I know.
So, Eric, once they hire the head coach, what happens to the roster?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a number of big questions this summer. To be clear, the Bucks don't really have a ton of options. There's always going to be the people that, you know, see what Chris Middleton does and say, well, he's not worth X, whatever that contract is. He's not worth it. Okay, that's fine. Don't pay him. You know how much money you have to pay anyone if you don't pay him? Zero. Zilch. Yeah, whatever other words you guys want to put on the poll to figure it out. You have zero. No more dollars. None. You have nothing in your pocket to
that
go spend.
That wasn't a shot, was it?
No, I was just trying to...
I felt a little shoddy.
I was trying to help.
But that's the situation that you're in. And it's the same thing with Brook Lopez. Like, okay, yeah, you think Brooke could age poorly, could be too slow, could lock you into a style of defense that you don't want to play with a new coach. All those things. Okay, cool. Let him go. You don't get to sign another center. You don't have any money. The Bucks are constructed in such a way with the luxury tax and the salary cap rules in the NBA, they can't go out and sign anyone else. So there are a lot of Bucks fans that are like, oh, maybe they should improve or change or whatever it may be. And that's fine. But you do have to keep in mind that this team is limited in the ways that it can construct a roster. And there is a lot to be said for just bringing those guys back. And sure, there are Bucks fans that would say, let's sign and trade Chris for somebody else. Okay. I think that's something that you can consider. But one other thing that we've seen now, and talking to Jen's idea of kind of hindsight, the number two team in the East is the Boston Celtics. Are the Boston Celtics going to stay the same next year? I don't know. Jaylen Brown has not been so excited to sign the Supermax extension that can be offered to him this offseason. Maybe Jaylen Brown just says, I want to get out. I'm going to demand a trade. All of a sudden, the Celtics, who are the number two team in the East, don't look that good. The number three team in the East, Philadelphia 76ers, juggernaut all year. Joel Embiid, MVP. James Harden probably going to Houston. All of a sudden, the third team in the East isn't very good. I think as this postseason has unfolded, I think you're seeing a real situation where I know the idea of just bringing it back, rolling it back, just with the new coaches, the change is scary to a lot of people because, well, we didn't improve. We didn't get better. We didn't do these things. Well, if everyone else got a whole bunch worse and you guys made your change, you decided that we need a new coach, we need a new voice, all of a sudden, it ain't looking so bad at the top. You were ready at the top, and you made your one change. Maybe your one drastic change is the coach, and you keep all the same roster, and all of a sudden, you look like a brand new team that's rolling through the Eastern Conference.
He's Eric Name of The Athletic, joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here, giving us an update on the Bucks head coaching search. I want you to stick around, because I got a dilemma that we came across this past weekend, and you're a big restaurant guy. Like, I go to you for the local restaurant scene. I want to know your take on what happened to us this weekend when we went out on the town in Milwaukee. Eric Name, thank you so much for the Bucks insight. The Athletic hanging out with us a little bit longer here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And I'm so glad because Eric Name is in on the restaurant scene here in Milwaukee and beyond. Even when he goes to other cities for his basketball duties, he's in on the restaurant scenes there. So we went out to dinner on Saturday night and my brother-in-law ordered a steak, medium rare. Came back medium well, like no pink, all brown, done, tried it. Leather, okay?
Yeah, that's no good.
So he calls the server over. We had the whole thing, like, should I send it back? Should I not? Calls the server over and says, hey, we asked for medium rare on the steak. You brought us medium well. The lady's like, I'm so sorry. Let me get my manager. The manager comes over. She says, so sorry about that, sir. Would you like us to make a new steak? It's going to take 45 minutes for a new steak. My brother's like, 45 minutes for a medium rare steak? That doesn't make any sense. But we'll pivot. I'll have a pizza instead. Great. Lady's like, we'll take care of the pizza for you. We'll take care of your first round of drinks, and we will take care of any desserts your party chooses to get. My brother's all like, okay, fantastic. Thank you. She puts the pizza order in. My sister, who's sitting next to us, goes, she didn't say the steak. My brother-in-law goes, no, it's implied. It's implied that the steak, because they made it wrong. We asked for medium rare and they made it medium well. It's implied that the steak is coming off. She's just saying we're going to go above and beyond to make up for our error.
Well, I don't like where this is going.
Well, when we got the bill. Mm-hmm. And the steak, $110 steak, oof, one of these bougie spots, still on the bill.
It's the only place Jen goes, obviously.
Still on the bill. My brother-in-law was furious. He said it's implied that they're taking off the thing they erred on. That's implied. Everything else is just supposed to be gravy. That's all the cherry on top of the sundae.
Yep.
Was he right or was my sister right?
Man, that's really... So I would have thought... Actually, just wait. How much of the steak was eaten?
He had a couple pieces. My sister had a couple pieces. I had a piece. But it was a big steak. It was a 36-ounce steak.
Okay. I think
they were sharing. They were sharing the steak. It was their meal. Like,
they
so
just
we're not
ordered
talking,
an entire
did,
cow?
Did they charge for the pizza and stuff?
They did not charge for the pizza. They did not charge for the first round of drinks. And they took off the desserts. Now, only two people got desserts. So it ended up coming to $90.
Oh, yeah. That's no good. No. If it was a $110 steak, I would just take off the $110 steak. Like, don't even offer me the other things.
That's what my brother said. That's what my brother-in-law said. He goes, just make it fair.
Right.
That you messed up on the steak.
100.
Take
no,
off
yeah,
the steak. We'll pay for the other
that's
stuff.
Bad.
We'll pay for the pizza. Well, we already thought we were paying for our drinks. My sister goes, but that's not what she said. She said, we'll take care of the pizza. We'll take care of your drinks. And we'll take care of your desserts.
Yeah, that's
why are you chuckling?
Because I can't get over the 45 minutes to cook a medium rare steak. What the hell is this?
Maybe that's why
fire that
wrong.
Chef immediately.
Well, was it a pretty busy restaurant?
Very busy.
So,
his order no.
Well, his order goes to the back of the line.
Should
I'm
go to
assuming.
The front of the line.
No,
messed up
should
the first
go.
Why? There's other
line,
people
right?
that are going to pay.
Messed
and not get
up the first order. You got to put it at the front.
I'm just saying. What
are you
saying?
Trying to tell me you're not crabbing about a medium
no.
well versus
no.
medium rare steak?
I would eat it and be like, well,
no,
maybe
next time. It's because you don't have.
You're too soft. You're too soft.
I'm aware that I'm soft, though, so that's why it's not a big
way
deal
too
to
soft.
Way.
Yeah. Way too soft.
I know I'm soft,
I
guys.
Mean, maybe
keep
medium.
It.
No.
Maybe yeah, you can medium. Get away with medium.
So that
was
the thing.
Well.
Yeah, there would need to be
around.
Some pink on.
Yes.
He passed
some.
It around the table to be like, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? And I was like.
You got some water?
A little chewy. It's a little chewy. Yeah. This is like beef jerky.
Yeah,
no, I'm good. I need no. So again, his point was it's implied that they should take off the thing they messed up.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. Especially a place like that. $110 for a steak.
But I mean, seems like a decent amount of the steak was still consumed. Even if you were just passing it around to try.
That's
where it gets tricky, of right. how much of that steak was consumed.
If you take one piece of that and you look inside and say, oh, that's not right, you raise your hand right away and say, excuse me, I'm sorry, this isn't right. I'm willing to wait, though, for a new steak. Or we're going to get a pizza instead after you hear the offer. Once you've all tried it and be like, I'm not sure, let me keep trying this steak, you're out then.
Well, but it was four of us. It wasn't that we all were keep trying, but my brother, and he was looking through it. He was like, let me find the pinkest piece I can. Tried that one to see, well, maybe this is a good medium rare piece. It was not. So you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like we were gorging on it being like, this is disgusting, but we keep eating it. Like, we were tasting it. We were kind of having that debate of like, should we send it back? Should we just try to enjoy it?
I mean, there's just no way you should have been charged for it. There's just no way.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no way.
So you cut it up. So then it was really spread around. So it was the kid.
They cut it up.
It was the kid trick of spreading the food around the plate. Now it looks like you've eaten more. You screwed yourself.
Yes, if we would have just pushed it all together, look, we put it in the shape of a steak. We barely touched it.
So well, if I can get some closure on this, then the only fair outcome here that was assumed was everything that was his meal from that point on should have been taken off.
No, all we wanted was the steak taken off
but
the bill.
What if he had still had to pay for the pizza and the desserts and the drinks?
Yes, he was fine with that. He was
I don't believe that.
But it's the trickle down. It's the trickle down because Jen's never going to go there again.
Easy, Ronald Reagan.
And you're going to tell your friends to never. That's what I do. I'm like, don't go to this place. Yeah.
I haven't mentioned the name of it because I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person dogging the restaurant. But the point is, when you go to a place and they mess up, isn't your baseline, isn't your default setting that whatever was messed up is removed? And anything else they want to do is like gravy. It's all cherry on top.
In my head, they shouldn't have offered all of the other things. They shouldn't have been like, oh, well, we'll make up the value elsewhere. Literally just take off the steak and give me a pizza and we're good.
Yeah.
We're good. If I pay $25, $30, whatever it is for the pizza, fine. I'm okay with that. But all they tried to do was just like, why don't we swap in $110 worth of food for you? And no, that's
Chef
not.
Ed weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, if the kitchen messed up the steak, your steak should be top priority. The new steak that they're making. I'm assuming that Chef Ed has worked his way through a number of kitchens. And
but it seems like it wouldn't have been if it was going to take 45 minutes. He was clearly going, they were just going to throw it to the back of the line.
So, but again, I think
they mishandled all of it.
Thank you. The whole thing.
I understand Chef Ed's been in kitchens, but here's my take on it now as a business person is, okay, I have other tables here waiting for their food. They're already going to pay. I'm going to hopefully not screw up their food and probably not screw up their food. I'll get all the money made back right away there.
This person's already having a bad time. I don't care about their bad time. Got to make sure that everybody else has a good time.
Are you worried about the $110 or the $1,000?
No, you're worried about them coming back to the restaurant to eat and not telling their friends that will not go there.
Or maybe their friends are like me. I'm like, well, calm
down. Or if you put them to the front of the line, now you're making everybody else have a bad time and everybody else is going to come back.
More money.
John in Chicago weighing in saying, this is ridiculous. A $110 steak should be reimbursed in addition to the freebies to make it up to you. It makes up for the inconvenience of having to replace a steak dinner for a pedestrian pizza.
I just think they compounded their mistake. They made a mistake. Yeah. You own it and you throw another steak on and that's it. We're good. And you don't say it takes 45 minutes. You just get it done.
But I also know you, Eric, as Milwaukee's foodie, the most famous foodie we have. You're not a steak guy at a restaurant.
No, I tend not to be a steak guy at a restaurant.
That's because he's smart.
Because you can cook a better one at home, right?
Nah, because steak's overrated. That's why.
Oh.
I mean, I think steak is a little bit overrated. I think the problem with a steak is it tastes like a steak no matter where you steak it.
Exactly.
Like, no matter what, as Chewy said, I can buy a really good cut of meat and I can grill it myself. And I'm not going to spend as much or do as much. And when I am on the road, I'm not ordering steak because I would like some local flair. I would like some local flavor. Like if I'm in Miami, I'm going to go to a Cuban joint. Because I can't make Cuban that way. Like how could I? I'm not that talented. But can I make a steak? Yeah.
Steak's pretty simple.
I can make a steak. So yeah, I would say steak, the general idea is good. But it's just eaten too much.
Jay Love in the 414 wing and saying the 45 minutes was to discourage you ordering another expensive 36-ounce steak.
That's right.
I don't love that strategy.
Right.
I'm not going to lie.
That's right.
I don't want to be manipulated. You know what I mean?
They already had to waste. They screwed up one steak, you know?
It's going to be 45 minutes to make your medium rare steak. What? In what world?
From what I know of steak, that's not that. I'm no expert.
Maybe, well, at 200 degrees it is, maybe.
Maybe that's the problem. They cooked the first one for 45 minutes. They got to adjust the cook time.
Yeah, can we get it down to 30 minutes?
That's exactly what my brother-in-law said. He goes, oh, now I know what went wrong. You set the timer for 45 minutes. Eric, we appreciate you hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good stuff about the Milwaukee Bucks head coaching search and restaurants. Those are your two areas of specialty/expertise.